Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
What was that?
That's for your mustache.
Oh, I like that.
I'm giving you applause for your mustache. That's for your mustache.
Dude, you know what? I was like, why wait till November?
No, and just make it moon.
I want to be the creepiest mustache out there. The funny thing is I just did it today.
You're like at an 8 out of 10 on creepy mustache right now.
The funny thing is I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this. And then I forgot that I've done it. And so when I was getting out of the car, I was like, oh my God. I still have this.
Yeah, it looks
Tom Selleck?
Definitely. No, no. Tom Selleck could wear a mustache.
Ron Jeremy
could wear a mustache. I don't know what you have going on.
Dude, Adam's family kind
of? Looks like you've been snorting pepper is what it looks like.
Well, it's not fully realized yet.
It's just realized enough.
It's just in its birth, dude.
We need to unrealize it.
I totally wasn't expecting that, dude. The studio audience loved the mustache.
Yeah, they did. They totally dug it.
Well, I must ask you a question. How was your week?
That's good.
I haven't seen you in a little bit, right?
Yeah, I was out last week.
Where were you last week?
I was doing a show down in Orange County.
The OC.
The OC.
Where, the Improv?
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been fun.
That's fun.
Irvine Spectrum?
Yeah. I love that place. It's fun.
It's a good time.
Love giant outdoor malls.
That's where it's at, dude.
No one's annoyed.
I meant to tell you I saw a movie. Did you see Entourage?
No.
Are you into the Entourage?
No, not at all.
You never were into
Not
that.
At all. That was a good I never movie. Watched. I watched 2 episodes of the show.
Oh, man.
And I was like, I don't like this.
Really? But it makes fun of L.A. in all the best ways.
Yeah, just... I didn't
gotta get into it.
Nah.
That's crazy.
I didn't like it. And then, like, I watched the preview for the movie, and like, if this movie bombs, our careers are done. I'm like, when has that ever happened in Hollywood?
Yeah.
They make crappy movies constantly, and people keep having the same careers where they keep getting millions of dollars.
You know, definitely, that doesn't happen in music, though. If you bomb on a record, you're done. That's
it. You have a certain amount of lives in Hollywood, but, like, just one bomb does not ruin your, I don't know.
Well, I have a couple friends that they've been in very good positions starring in series. The show bombed, and then that was...
Yeah, but if you're an established star like Vincent Chase supposedly is, a bankable Hollywood star, one bomb is not... Otherwise, Clooney wouldn't have had a career.
Well, he's still ascending. That's the point. They're saying...
How long is he ascending for?
Well, he's been ascending for a while.
Yeah! I don't know. This show's annoying. I don't like it.
Well, I saw the movie, and it was like a long... It was like a two-hour episode.
So shocking.
It was a lot of fun.
Shocking.
You would like it.
Eh.
Give it a chance.
I don't need any more commentaries on...
On Hollywood.
I know all the cliches. I don't need to see them on the screen.
Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
No.
Dude, that's your bag right there.
I don't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah, but you're like way into comic books. You're way into like Dungeons and Dragons.
No, I'm not. I've never played Dungeons and Dragons.
Bullshit.
It's a common misconception about people who like comic books.
Well, you like Star Wars. I just figured you'd like
Dungeons Star Wars and Dungeons and Dragons are nowhere near the same.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that do both. Let's be honest.
There's a lot of people that do meth and play Dungeons and Dragons.
I don't know if that's true, but I know a lot more people that love Star Wars that also love Dungeons and Dragons.
That doesn't make any sense. There's no correlation.
So besides the show at the Improv, what else did you do?
I haven't done anything.
That's it?
My life is very uneventful.
I took Otis to the park. It was a good day at the park for him.
That's
we got
good.
Into the park for free because of Otis.
What park?
Kenneth Hahn Park. You ever been to the Kenneth Hahn Park?
They charge you to go into the park?
Only on the weekends. $6.
What, it's like a... Wait, it's like just a regular park?
I think I just got somebody in trouble right now. I just told them we got it for free. It's an actual park. It's an awesome
like
park.
An outdoor, just grass and trees? Yeah, and they charge you $6 to go into that?
Well, it's because it's a private park. They charge you only on the weekends. I think it's because a lot of people barbecue. It's south on La Cienega.
$6 to go hang out in grass and trees?
Yeah. That's a city park for you.
I've been to city parks. I've never had to pay to go into a park. Ticket booth
Yosemite,
and everything.
You pay into Yosemite.
That's a national park.
It's a national park, but it's still a
with
park.
With like things you like waterfalls and El Capitan and like
and crickets.
It's things they make post. Are they make postcards out of Kenneth Hahn Park?
I don't know.
No. Why would you charge $6 to go?
Well, I don't know. I don't make the rules. You can stay there all day.
Is it a private? Some guy owns a piece of property. He charges people to walk around.
Monday through Friday it's free. Saturday and Sunday it's $6 to get in.
That's insane to me.
Well, that's a city.
That's absurd.
I'm just used to parking.
I live right next to Runyon Canyon. You can just go in. I mean, as long as you can take the smell of dog shit, you can walk in and go as you please.
What, people don't clean their dog shit on Runyon Canyon?
Not everybody,
dude. That's ridiculous. I think now that I like own a dog again, it's like, dude.
Some people don't.
Yeah, that's just, come on. If you have a dog.
Oh, I get mad when they don't. You should clean up your dog crap.
So you take your dog up there, don't you?
Well, yeah.
And you take poops. You take bags.
Yeah.
Clean it.
I'm a responsible dog owner.
Dude, good man. Good. I'm going to give you an applause for that.
Yeah, it's like that Chris Rock bit of like, I taught my kids to read. I'm like, yeah, you're supposed to do. Like that, I'm a good parent. Yeah, you're supposed to be. It's like, you're supposed to pick up your dog shit.
Yeah.
You know, shouldn't get applause for things you're supposed to do.
Dude, I agree. I see more people that don't clean their shit than people that do. I mean, their dog shit.
I hope everyone cleans their own shit.
Well, with bulldogs, too, you got to wipe them because,
okay, I don't know about that. I don't wipe dog ass.
Oh, I do. I do. I wipe dog ass. Ugh. Dude, Otis's asshole is cleaner than yours, dude.
Well, yeah, I'm sure if I had a second party wiping my asshole, yeah, I'm sure it would be pretty clean.
Well, because his asshole's exposed, so it's just like
he's... So is my dog's. Most dog buttholes are exposed. Yeah, well, dogs don't have butt cheeks.
So where do you think he goes when his poop comes out?
And it just comes out.
Not all of it. Not all of it. Sometimes it's mirrors.
I don't know what you're feeding your dog.
I don't know what's on your couch.
I don't know what's feeding your dog.
So you had a good week.
Dog's
you had a
buttholes
good weekend.
Are self-cleaning.
You had a good weekend?
Yeah, it's whatever.
Do you ever just go see comedy when you're not performing?
Hell no.
You're like, no way.
Fuck no.
So movies are that release for you?
I guess.
Yeah, I could see. That would be tough. Like,
I could never sit in an audience and watch a comedy show.
See, I love going to see bands.
I just want to throw up.
Yeah, I could see that. I saw U2 last week.
How was that? At the Forum?
Awesome. Yeah. You know what sucked, though? Let me tell you. Ticketmaster, it's such a shyster of an organization. So when you bought tickets, we bought tickets like 10 months ago, maybe even more than that, right? And the map of the stage had the stage and then this platform, you know, and then another little mini stage. So yeah. I bought tickets like for my brother's a diehard fan. So he and I went and I bought tickets like really good seats, you know, like down in the 100 section. We're like four rows from the stage,
mm-hmm.
Perfect view. We get to the venue and the tickets are behind the stage. And I'm like... Dude, I would have known that I would not have done this. And the whole section...
But don't they play all the way around, though?
Well, they do. So that's why I didn't like complain. But everybody in our section was like, dude, Ticketmaster flipped the map. So do you understand? Like,
yeah.
They put the map of the stage, and then the stage crew basically flipped the stage. So,
but that might have been Ticketmaster's... At the time, that wasn't Ticketmaster's responsibility. I mean, U2 or whoever the event people could have like, well, we got to reconfigure the seating.
That's true.
That might have been out of their hands.
And they were just giving out passes, general admission passes, but my brother and I are old. We're like, we've done that so many times.
Yeah, Ticketmaster
but you
is
know what?
Definitely...
I mean, they're
definitely evil, but I'm just saying that might not have been their fault.
Well, yeah, but I just always hold them accountable.
Yeah, sure.
You know, all those convenience fees.
Yeah.
That wasn't so convenient. But anyways, it was a great concert. And like you said, they're one of those bands. Like, I've seen Pearl Jam behind the stage, too.
They play to both sides.
They play to all
sides. And then
they'll
usually... Pearl Jam, I know, they'll usually just do a whole song to the backside.
Yep. And you know what's also cool, too, is they turn around to each other a lot. So it was like we were seeing the concert, like, right there. But it was an amazing show. And it's not my favorite new record that they're touring on, but still a killer show, killer band. They're the real deal, so... Anyways, I think our special guest has arrived. Mr. Philip Brandon.
What up?
Dude, voice is amazing.
Wait, you can talk. Go ahead and talk real low.
What's going on?
See, like, it's weird. Like, I was talking to him in the green room before the show, and like, it was just like, well, he's got a nice deep voice. But then, like, you hear it on a microphone.
You're attracted to our guest, dude. Seriously.
It tickles my eardrum. It tickles my eardrum.
He was our, like, when we did, when I had an acapella group in college, he was our bass.
I know. I got that info out.
And you know what? Like, I think George was the one that met you, right?
Yeah.
And one of our members met him, and he was like, yo, do you sing? And he was like, I do.
That's the exact same story he just told.
I told you that when we were in the green room. Yeah,
that's his intro. That's his intro story to everybody.
And you know what? We just got together again. We started singing the national anthem, and so many people were like, "Dude, that bass!" I'm like, "I know, man. It's just awesome." You know,
man, that was fun,
dude. So, Philip, I want you to answer all the questions in the lowest voice you can.
Just go lower and lower and lower and lower.
And he's getting around
till I'm bare.
Say, "I am your father."
I am your father.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, what is happening?
Eddie's getting a little excited.
No. Sounds like Darth Vader. It's awesome.
So Philip Brandon is just an amazing singer, and you've been doing like your own music for maybe like the last 6-7 years, something like that.
Yeah, doing particularly within the past 2 years. We recorded back in 2013 and got a chance to do our first EP. And
that's exciting.
Yeah, we did a little touring last year, which was also very fun.
Where'd you go?
We went to, it was like West Coast, so we did Phoenix, we did another little town called Jerome, Vegas, and then
Jerome.
Yeah.
Where's Jerome?
Phoenix,
Jerome.
Vegas, and Jerome.
Jerome, Arizona is up in the hills.
Jerome. That's awesome. That sounds like it's fun.
Yeah, that was really cool. Then we did San Diego, and then we play around town a lot here in L.A. too.
You know, you're lucky. We're lucky. I should say we're both lucky.
Yep.
Because we live in a place where you can access so many cities in a short
Absolutely.
Amount of time.
Yeah.
Like, you go to Vegas, it's 4 hours. You go to Phoenix, it's, what, 6 hours?
Yeah.
You go to San Francisco, it's 6 hours. San Diego, 2 hours. Santa Barbara, an hour and a half.
Exactly.
Like
yeah, longest drive was like 5 or like 6.5 hours or something like that.
And then there's that really middle of the country, those right. middle states. Oh man, where it's like you're like, okay, I got a 5 hour drive. Oh my god, do we have a 9 hour drive? Wait, right. is this a 13 hour?
This is 13 hours.
Nah, that's just too much that's
for a show at the end
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're just like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when did you record your EP?
So we did this back in when we recorded and released it about I think it was towards the end of 2013, early 2014 is when we started getting some radio play and stuff with it. So
that's awesome.
Which was really fun.
So you've also, like, you've sung in groups. I think you did some touring. You were doing some cruise ship touring.
Yeah, I did. That first professional stuff was the cruise ship.
So you had, like, this eclectic, like, range of music.
Yeah.
So how did you decide this is where I want to go?
Well, with the EP, I basically said I wanted to kind of incorporate everything that I had been inspired by up till then.
Right.
So, you know, as we hear some of it, you'll kind of hear some elements of funk, some elements of rock, some, you know, tons of jazz, because that's what I'm mostly inspired by.
Yeah, I actually, like, coined you as a soul and jazz artist.
I love that, yeah.
And I was like, sure. I don't know if he's going to like that.
I love it. Like, I love that one.
Because I knew
yeah.
he does funk. I'm like, but it's like, it's not just funk, it's not just jazz,
right.
it's not just soul, it's, you know, so.
Yeah, like, it's kind of a little hybrid
okay.
there. So.
No, but it's cool. You got that, like, you got the Barry White thing.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Eddie's already a fan, and he wants to sign up on your fan list. He just keeps on thinking, he just wants to have, like, you talking to Darth Vader the rest of the show. The rest of the show. Yeah, I wish this clip was a little shorter. It's okay.
Well, I was like, what?
I wish all your clips were really short.
That's
like,
it.
Super short.
Hey, Philip, get him.
Uh-oh.
We go way back, dude. We're a cappella, dude.
I heard.
Right.
Man, I can't believe that was like, what, 14, 15 years ago?
So long ago. And you know what? We reunited, and it was just like, it just clicked. Like,
yeah.
Like, right, like it was. And, you know, we did this national anthem thing. I think we're going to be singing it at the Laker games and some other sporting events.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been just leaking it to, you know, the guys and the bands, you know. But anyways, so you, like, what was the first song that you recorded? What was the first direction that you were like, okay, this is where I want to go?
Yeah, so, you know, with my first EP, I just kind of wanted to go where the wind took me. That makes any sense, kind of just get everything that was in my head, everything that was kind of filling out. So I didn't really have a, like, oh, it has to be in this particular genre, it has to be in this. I kind of wanted to get everything out. And then I allowed my producer, his name is Dr. Ford. He really helped me to kind of make a through line for the entire EP.
Like have a vision.
Exactly. Right, you know, it's like, okay, I have all these crazy ideas. Now, can you make my crazy make sense?
Right.
You know
what
I
mean? What was the craziest idea that he was like, Philip, I don't think that's going to, like, let's take the farm animals away from
the- I was literally going to say the elephant footsteps. No, I'm just
joking. Like, what? Really? Seriously?
No, you got that? You know, I don't know if it was necessarily anything like that was like crazy as much as like, how do we make this make sense together?
Sorry.
That was only 30 seconds late.
This one's for you.
That was closer.
It takes some time to find these.
Then don't do them. If it takes that long,
that's part of the joy with these sound effects. Eddie's like my big brother that I can just annoy with them.
Oh, that's a sound effect? I thought it was really an elephant coming up.
Yeah. Well, we keep them in the studio.
Yeah, okay.
Eddie feeds them.
They're under the table.
So let's actually hear something. You want to play something live? What are you going to play for us?
Yeah, this is the first single. It's entitled You. All right.
Here it comes.
One, two, three. Ha! Here we go. How high the moon, how loud the tune you sing, and I cannot find the ways to make sense of it. There is so much I can say, but words escape me. No more games for us to play. So all I say is you. I really want you. I'm really needing you. I'm really feeling you. Only you. I really want you. I'm really needing you. I'm really feeling you. Time will tell the tales of stories that may not be true. I have needs and I need you to hear me. Listen, y'all. In the dead of night, I feel you near me. Even when you are not there. So all I see is you. I'm really wanting you. I'm really needing you. I'm really feeling you. Only you. I'm really wanting you. 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 Back down, I won't back down, I won't back down. You need to know I can't do without you. You need to know I can't do without you. You, I really want you. I'm really needing you. I'm really feeling you. Only you. 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 I won't back down. Hey, I won't back down. I won't back down. Only you.
Yeah. Killing. Dude, that was smooth. Yeah. That was just...
I like the 1, 2, 3 at the beginning.
I know, me too. I was like,
that's the first guest that's ever done that.
That's
here.
That's true. Well, usually they do like...
Yeah, he was like, let's make a part of the song.
Yeah, no, it was... That was smooth. Philip, that was smooth.
Thanks, guys.
You guys sound great together.
Yeah.
You know what's also a true test, too? It's like when artists can break it down. Like, when you break it down acoustic, for me, I'm like, show me. Show me what you can do. And it's like, you guys were grooving. You guys were totally grooving. And even if it was a little breaks, you're like, oh. You're like, yeah. I was like, yeah, Philip. Shit. I'm feeling that shit. No, it was cool.
That's really cool. Awesome.
And I like in the bridge how you're singing, like, the line. Mm-hmm. That's really tight. I like that. Man. Very cool tune. Very cool tune. I'm going to give you another applause. Just because Eddie's moved. Eddie's moved, from your deep vocal folds.
He's almost asleep over there. He's like, ooh, no, very
soothing. Honestly, it is very soothing.
Yeah.
No, so, you know, one of the things, one of the joys that I have when I host this show, it's like I'll bring some friends on, but I learned so much more about them by asking this next question. Like, how did you get into music? Like, what was the thing that was like, oh my God, I have to do this?
You know, it was kind of, I always call it like, it was like a backdoor type thing, because I got my degree in marketing, actually. A lot of people don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I was doing a few things in corporate America for a little while, and I was ready to, I went to school down in Atlanta, Morehouse College.
Okay.
Big
ups to Morehouse.
Yeah, big ups to Morehouse. So after I finished there, I decided I wanted to be back home. I sang pretty much all my life, so I just said I wanted to be around it more. You know, actually, I had this singing with the group, a cappella,
right,
and everything.
That's right.
And
I still miss it, man.
Yeah,
still miss it.
So then I got back to LA, and I was doing a couple shows around town, and one of our acapella bandmates actually hit me up and said, "Hey, dude, I'm sorry I wasn't able to make the show, but listen, I got this, you know, this contract that needs a bass singer to go out on the cruise ships for a while." So I was like, "Oh, okay, well, I'll go out for 6 months and kind of do my thing, and you know, see what happens, see what job I get when I get come back." Then I did one more thing of 6 months, and then in between there, I was auditioning for a couple other things, and then I ended up booking the Lion King show over in Hong Kong, and then I did that.
That must have been amazing.
Man, that was incredible.
So Julie Taymor's choreography and all the costuming and stuff like that, same?
It was a bridge version,
okay.
But it was okay. the definitely the same concept
and
everything.
Same music and all
same
that.
Exactly.
What part did you play?
Scar.
Ooh. Oh, Scar. Dude.
The evil uncle.
Dude, do you remember any lines? Give us a line.
Oh, man, you put me on the spot here. Let's see.
Come on. Dance, monkey. I'm just kidding.
Simba the king, never. I, Scar, will be king, and you hyenas are going to like it or enjoy it or whatever.
Ah, that was dope, dude. Dude, that's my favorite Disney movie.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I just don't like the retired hyenas called Ed. I don't really... I don't know why they do that.
I do.
Everyone else has like authentic African names.
Right.
And then Hyena, who's obviously mentally challenged, is called Ed.
Maybe he just runs.
Really
with
bothers
the name
me. Really bothers
Eddie,
me.
Eddie, really bothers Edward, me. Edward. It's okay.
Really bothers me.
Dude, that was amazing. I didn't know that you did that. That's amazing.
That's what I was saying. Like, it was funny because that was during the time after we had, you know, moved away and everyone was doing their own thing. So yeah, I did that for a while, and then got back from that, and then got a chance to do the national tour of the Broadway musical for The Color Purple, and I did that for.
I remember that was the last time I remember texting you.
Yeah,
like, I'm on tour with this.
Yeah, man. And
was it with Fantasia?
I went right after because she did the tour for a while, and then she finished. So I went out right after that.
That's an amazing show.
And got a chance to do that for 2.5 years on and off,
dude,
which was awesome, dude. Got a chance to see all of the U.S. Then in the midst of that, I got a chance to work with this awesome rock group called the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Old school, man.
Yeah, they do these awesome Christmas shows every year, and I've been touring with them for about 6 years now, 5 or 6 years, I think it is. So it was a couple years in before I not necessarily decided, but realized, like, dude, I guess you're in entertainment now. Like, this is what you do, you know? Because before then, I was like, oh, guys, yeah, I'm just doing this gig until I get the next job or, you know, whatever that was.
It's called being an entertainer.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's exactly what that's called.
Well, you're always, like, as an entertainer or an artist, you're, like, hustling for the next gig. You're like, okay, I'm going to get better at this craft so that I can do this role, or I can do this song, or I can sing with this group, or I can act in this, whatever it is.
Whatever it is, yeah.
And then sooner or later, you're like, oh, my God, I'm an artist. You're like, oh, this is what I do.
This is what I do, yeah. So it's kind of cool in that sense, you know what I mean?
Now, with this, it's like, it's a lot of it's your own music, right? So was that like a huge leap for you to go from, you know, because that's how it was for me.
Yeah.
Like I came from the classical background in musical theater. So, like, writing my own songs was a big deal. It was a big deal,
yeah.
You know? So for you, you've done all these huge, huge, great musical works. Mm-hmm. was that a huge step to say, you know what, I'm ready to put my own stuff out
there? Yeah, because I'd been saying it for so long, like, oh yeah, I'm going to write this, I'm going to, you know, you write stuff, you have stuff down, you have ideas, and, you know, I've been saying it probably since, I don't know, since I graduated, like, right. Oh yeah, you know, I'm going to do this, and finally, I just said, okay, you're going to buckle down, and this is what you're going to do this year. You're going to actually get a chance to sit here and hash out all these ideas you have and get everything down. So getting a chance to actually sing and record stuff that you've written, that it is, like you say, a big leap. It's like, whoa, this, you know,
yeah,
you, when you have the final say so, or you know, you're like, hey, does this sound okay, does this sound, you know, this is how it sounds in my head, but does it sound okay? Right. You know,
right. It sounds good because you've had the background and the training,
right,
and just experience. So, like, you know, it's more of like, people that should be asking that are the people that have none of that background.
Right, right, right.
And then they just take that, like, oh, I can write a song.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Actually, it's better if you absorb some of these melodies and arrangements.
Yeah.
Because you don't even realize in your subconscious you're absorbing the arrangements and how the melodies are fitting in with all the things that you were doing. Mm. Lion King, Color Purple, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. like, as you're writing, you're like, pulling from these places,
yeah.
that you probably aren't even realizing that you've already absorbed.
That makes
so that's why it makes
sense.
Like, I knew your stuff was going to be good. I'm like, this is going to be dope. But, you know, it's your showmanship, too, that made you go, 1, 2, you know, it's like, yeah, hop in. Give it to me. That's the shit. Well, let's hear something from your EP. What are you going to play for us?
Cool. I think we got Turn Around is the first one that's up there.
Turn Around.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
At night I dream of you and all the things you do. All day and night you are always on my mind. I love you so, I don't know what to say. Without you I couldn't go another day. No matter what, you are always on my mind. Yeah. On my mind. Just to feel you now, you're always on my mind. I can't go on until I know just why you're gone. If it's me, I'll go and start again. You'll be always on my mind.
On my mind, 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 on my mind. On my mind.
cool. I think Eddie's got you on his mind.
I am. For some reason, it's labeled Turnaround on the computer.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah, that was actually on my mind, which was fun.
Would make sense, because you kept saying that over and over.
I said it one or two times, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, that's right. It's not Turnaround. But, damn it.
Well, we'll it is. It's the way it's labeled on the computer.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. No problem. So let me ask you this. Like, it sounds, you know, I don't know if Maroon 5's an influence on you.
Wow, yeah.
It's got that kind of vibe from the first record. It's got a little, like, Meatloaf thing, too, because it's very theatrical, too, as well as progressive, like progressive rock. I dig it, man.
Wow,
it's
thanks,
cool.
man.
Yeah, really musical.
I definitely was a big fan of the Maroon 5, especially on their first album, because it was, like, real funky.
I still want them to go back to that.
Yeah.
They never will. Now it's like, it's way beyond that.
Times have changed.
Yeah, times have changed. Times have changed. Style has changed.
Yeah, so, but yeah, that was fun getting a chance to do. And actually, the funny part about that particular song was it kind of morphed over time. That was one of the songs that I wrote way early on before I even thought about doing any kind of recordings. And it kind of was more of a neo soul feel at first, so it was like, but then, you know, I was like, I really like the tune, I really like the chorus of it, so I wanted to do something to kind of make it even more fun and energetic. And actually, that's one of the favorites when we do it live too, I would say. Definitely, they really enjoy it.
You know, the funny thing is, it's like, you know, I think you already knew, probably going into the studio, you have to like let it go. Mm. Let whatever, like, okay, I want this to go in this direction. It kind of is just going to take a life of its own.
Yeah.
It becomes something more than you expected it to in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So what's really cool for me to hear, it's like you hear your background, but you also hear this new part of you. Like, I hear more of your voice, quote unquote, in this stuff than anything that you've done, including stuff that you and I have collaborated on. Philip is like an amazing singer. And the funny thing is, whenever there's a bass in an a cappella group, there are very few solos for the bass. We always tried to give him like little like skeet ups, you know, little stuff here and there. Yeah, because he was such a good bass. He was like the bass in an a cappella group. If you have a good bass, it's the difference between, it's like night and day between every other group. Like, we'd always walk in and like, yeah, we got Philip. Everything's gonna be all right. So, but the cool thing is to hear you take the steps as the lead man and sing solos and stuff. And I think maybe it probably took you to do all those things that you were doing to be like, you know what? I can sing the shit out of these songs. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, since I started out singing as the bass, you know, it was like bass in a cappella, bass in a quartet, bass in, you know, choral, you know, that's kind of what I, in my head, what I was labeled as. So then after I, like you said, doing some of these other gigs and stuff where I actually had leads and stuff, I was like, oh, man, this is fun
playing with some range.
Right, this is fun playing with this register up here. Right, you know, let me let's see what
and your
we
voice
got.
Is so full, like Eddie. I mean, this is a very different than a lot of the singers that have come in. You can tell because it's just like a different voice type.
Yeah,
but you know, the very fact that you have that low range and then you have that, you can do that baritone thing, pretty convincingly. Where it's like, I know you're a bass, but nobody else would like know that you're doing anything that's a baritone, even higher.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
That comes from good technique.
Yeah.
That's good technique. So tell us, like, you've been touring a lot. You've been playing, like, where you just did a gig at Catalina's.
Yeah, man, that was so much fun. Yeah, man.
It's like one of the best jazz clubs in Los Angeles.
And it's funny because, you know, you see all of your, you know, your people, your idols and people you look up to who tour through there. And so to be able to play that stage, you know, it's just like, man, you know. Eugene was really excited about that, too, when we booked it. And I was telling the band, I was like, guys, you know, we booked the Catalina. And they were like, whoa. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
that's what we're doing? Okay, cool. So we got a chance to do that. And, I mean, the night was just beautiful. We, you know, had a chance to have a night. It was like, I think it was during the middle of the week, and we had a really nice crowd that came out, too, which was really nice. And just, you know, a lot of it was just very nostalgic. I'm sitting there and just, like, singing and just like, wow, this is crazy.
Like, I've arrived. I'm here. Now, Eddie, let me tell you. Jazz clubs could teach comedy clubs a thing or two about the food in the clubs.
Yeah.
Because jazz clubs, they don't mess around. They got good grub.
Comedy clubs are trying to make money, so they offer out the worst food possible
at the cheapest
price for them to make.
Yeah. No, I understand that. But jazz clubs, still do the 2-drink minimum thing, and it's very similar. But like, if I order something at a jazz club, I know it's going to be good.
Yeah,
there's something about like it's weird. Like, I went to the comedy club. I went to the comedy store last week.
Oh, you got food at the comedy store?
Oh man, it was
bad. Why did you do that?
It was because no one told you. No one told me.
Even the waiter didn't like go. Well, what are you doing?
Actually, I asked. I was like, "What's good?" And she was like, "Don't get the nachos. The nachos are terrible, dude.
Whatever you do,
and I didn't.
They don't have a kitchen.
No,
there's no kitchen back there.
Yeah, we got like barbecue pork slabs.
It's a microwave and like a toaster. It's like it's a toaster oven. It's not a kitchen. The Improv has a kitchen.
The Laugh Factory too, right?
Laugh Factory, I think, has a kitchen, but Comedy Store doesn't have a kitchen.
Well, Catalina's has a kitchen and a half. Yeah, like I remember just ordering some great food, and then you listen to some great music. You're like, this is life. This is living. This is what it's all about.
And it has that old school vibe too, of like old school supper club. Just you have a full night. You get there, you can get there up to an hour and a half early just to have your dinner and drinks and all that kind of stuff, and then you have the show that starts somewhere around 8:30, and it's just like, wow, the night is it's really cool,
and it's yours,
and it's your
you hang with everybody afterwards.
Exactly, like
it's great.
They have a nice little green room and everything beforehand. It was I was like, man, this is really cool.
I remember I saw John Schofield at Catalina's, and right afterwards, I got to meet him and everything, and I was like, this is the coolest. That's where I used to go all the time when I was a music student.
Yeah.
Like, I would go to Catalina's, the old one on Fairfax, and go see shows. And I went to the new one, too, and I love it. It's even it's an even bigger and better club. But it's an honor to play there.
One of the other big things is when I pulled up that night and saw my name on the marquee,
I think I was like, and
I certainly did, and that's the...
Yeah. No, but it's because so many huge names.
Yeah. You know, you and drive like by on any given day, and you just see names up there, and you're just like, wow, this is, pretty cool.
Anyone from, like, Branford Marsalis to John Schofield to Charlie Hunter to,
people crazy. Just tour through there. And
Roy Hargrove. I've seen Roy Hargrove. I've seen Herbie Hancock there.
Right.
I've seen... Who else? Christian McBride.
Marcus Miller was up there.
I've seen... Man, there's so many jazz heads. Mike Stern I've seen there.
I've heard of Herbie Hancock.
He is a legend.
I've heard of him. The other ones, no, but I've heard
of him. You haven't heard of any of the other ones?
No.
Well, John Schofield.
I know nothing about music. Nothing.
Well, jazz is... Nothing. It's
jazz is...
I know Herbie Hancock.
Too, yeah.
Herbie Hancock. I know his song.
Yeah. His song. Yep. That's the only one you know?
That's it.
What about Cantaloupe on a boom, dim, boom, dim? You know, bitty, bitty, bop.
No.
Well, anyways, that background music is Cantaloupe Island. I can't believe you don't know Cantaloupe. That's all right. I'll have to play some jazz.
Yeah.
Well, another time. Well, where are you touring next? Where are you playing?
So, next we're doing July 3rd. We'll be at this new hotspot in Hollywood called Nine on Vine.
Okay.
And we'll be there all night, actually, which we're excited about that. And that's the 4th of July, kicking off the 4th of July weekend, so.
That'll be dope.
Yeah, that'll be really cool. And then a couple things that we, got in the works for the fall that we're waiting to ink and all that kind of stuff. So it's just a lot of, we just finished doing a couple new tunes that we haven't released yet, but we're really excited about that. So
that's the best.
When you
have a record and you're playing all the record tunes and then you come in with new songs, man, that is the best.
Yeah.
It's like a whole new movement of the band. You know what I mean?
Right. And then this one was the cool thing about this is that this new record that we just cut, the band had a lot of input too. So it wasn't just my vision. It was like, the drummer's like, I think this would be cool if we did this. And Eugene's like, oh, I think this guitar lick would be cool here. So it was really collaborative as well, which was really awesome. So
Eugene, how's Philip as a band leader?
Great.
A man of few words.
He's a bass too.
He was waiting for that the whole day. He was like, I cannot wait until he asks me something.
And he got way down to the back.
Yeah. Eugene's from the Ukraine. So.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Right on.
Yeah. So.
So how is the music scene different here? It's a pretty big leap.
It's pretty different.
Yeah, it's awesome, right?
Yeah.
You must be excited just to play all these big rooms.
Yeah. Especially Catalina.
Yeah, that's everybody knows that. Like, that's like one of the biggest rooms.
I was living a dream.
Yeah. No, that's the best thing. Los Angeles has so many of those too, which is crazy. It's like... there's so many iconic venues in this city.
And Eugene was so excited, so we had sound check. We had sound check started at 5. I said, load in is at 4:30, so I'm in the green room. and the front door was locked, and I get a text literally the moment it hit 4:30. Are you inside? He was so excited. He was ready to load in. He was
dude, standing that's in. A pro right there, right. Man. That's a pro.
Dressed and ready. I said, yeah. That's awesome.
You're like, man. All right, man, you must be excited. You're like, yeah, I'm excited. No, because there's a spirituality with the venue. You know this, Eddie. It's like comedy clubs, music venues. Yeah. There's something about them. There's an energy of like, there's a legacy of the people that go through there that when you're a part of that, it transfers onto your performance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As long as you let go of like whatever happens, like, because sometimes you can put that pressure on yourself. Yeah. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, it's got to be perfect.
Yeah.
And it's never
perfect. I think the band knows what you're talking about, too.
Yeah.
I think our rehearsal or two before, they were like, oh, Philip is serious, right?
No, but that's, I mean, that's how it's got to be.
Yeah.
The rehearsal, I actually get more out of rehearsing than sometimes performing.
Yeah.
Like, the rehearsals, like, you can work on those, like, the nook and crannies of details. And then, like, performance is like, the result of all the work that you did before.
Absolutely, you know? Man.
Well, yeah. let's hear another live performance. What are you going to play? What are you going to play?
So this is the our most recent single. It's entitled "Sail On," and it's kind of just a fun tune that we like to do, especially for the summers.
All right, let's hear it.
Sail on with me, sail on today, nothing to stop you, open your heart to, there's no need to explain, let's just be on our way, yes, sail on, sail on, sail on, sail on with me, sail on, sail on. Pack your bags, there's no need to fear, I'll keep you protected, just me with you here. You are so beautiful to me. From now on by your side, will I be as we just go and sail on, sail on, sail on, sail on, sail on, sail. Enjoy pure ecstasy. Sail on with me. Open up and let's just be. Glide it out, my darling. Glide it out, my baby. Ooh, yeah. Glide it out, my baby. Glide it out, my darling. Glide it out, my baby.
again. Dude, are you an Al Green fan?
Oh, of course,
you
man.
Got some Al Green all over that, man.
That's like, awesome to hear,
all
man.
Your vocal licks, like, man, there were times I was like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hit it, man. It was good. Real good.
Thanks, man.
Great playing, great singing. Man, great tune. Great tune. Great arrangement.
Yeah.
Seriously, no. You hit that Al Green thing, man. It's like, it has that soul thing. And I even like your little cue. You cued him out.
Oh,
like,
you saw all that?
I'm like, Philip, man. Damn. Of course, dude. I noticed all that stuff, man.
I guess that's all part of the theatrics, right?
Well, no. Well, you know what? Eddie won't notice that stuff because he just doesn't. He's not in a band. You know what I mean? So, like, he's, like, listening. Like, but I noticed all those little, like, that's the difference between pros and amateurs. You know what I mean? It's, like, those little details. When you notice that. And you were on. You guys were on.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Really cool, yeah.
Thanks, so, man. Real quick, before I forget, where can people find you? What's your website? Spell out your name.
I will.
For all our listeners.
So, website, philipbrandon.com. That's philipbrandon.com. Basically, Philip Brandon with two L's is what I like to tell people, .com. Follow us on Twitter. Facebook, like us on Facebook.
All your links are on there.
Everything's on the website. You can hear all the album. You keep up what's going on. Sign up for the newsletter so you'll know what we're doing and what we got going on and all kinds of promotions and stuff. So follow us.
You should.
Yeah.
He's entranced.
I'm entranced. So entranced.
He's already signed up for the newsletter. I just got that.
I'm doing it right now.
Well, Philip, it was tremendous to have you on our show. I want to play our guest out with the song Turnaround if we have the right version.
We'll see
what we got.
It's labeled on my mind here.
But Philip, Eugene, it was awesome to have you on the show.
Oh, man, we had a blast. Thank you so much for having us.
And are there any future shows that you can tell people anywhere in the country or anywhere in Los Angeles?
Like I said, we're doing, for those in Los Angeles, we're definitely doing Hollywood on July 3rd at 9 on Vine. So come on out for that. And then everybody else in the country, just go ahead and follow us and stay tuned because there's definitely some awesome things in the works. So
put some YouTube videos up, man. We want to see more of you.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's all about.
And here is a
Turnaround.
Turnaround.
Yeah. Turnaround.
Fingers crossed.
If you think you're at the end of the road, only words to a story untold. Time seems to be wasting, you keep hesitating to move. There ain't no one else to blame. Jump right and don't be fooled. If you think you're at the end of
Philip Brandon, where can people find that record before we sign out?
So all the online retail outlets, for sure on iTunes.
Check them out on iTunes. Yeah. Philip Brandon, thank you so much for being a guest, man. It's like we've been reunited, and it feels so good.
And it feels so good. Yeah, man. Thank you so much. Great vocals
on that track, man.
Cheers, I heard all the vocals. Thank you.
Cool.
On behalf of Eddie and I, we'll see you all next week. Eugene, sounded great, man.
Thank you much.
See you, everybody. All the way from the Ukraine, you're already on the radio.
That's a lot.
Stick around with this guy.
Good night, Hollywood.
We'll see you next week.